Okay, we're back with Dr. Andrea Davis of the Greenhouse Therapy Center in California, and we are discussing strategy A10, self-reflect. Take a reflective stance towards yourself in interactions, from the book Floor Time Strategies to Promote Development in Children and Teens, a User's Guide to the DIR Model. So, I took a crack at this strategy, and I used the sample journal, which I've put on the website as a worksheet that parents or therapists can use to have goals going into a floor time session. So what are your goals for the floor time session? And then reflecting on how it went, what strategies seemed to work best to support the goals, what did I learn about my child, and what were my goals for myself in the session, and then what did I learn about myself? And finally, any questions that we have to discuss going forward.
So I was, again, thrilled that you would be willing to dive in and just try this, and you shared with me your own responses and reactions, and your filling out the form yourself after an actual play session with your son, and you even shared the video of a part of the play session, and I thought that was really brave and also hopefully a growth promoting experience for you to do that, to really focus on this strategy of self-reflection during and after, even after, as you reviewed in your mind your experiences in the play with him.
Yes, it was interesting. Now, we've put a link on the blog to a blank worksheet that parents can use or therapists, and a sample worksheet, which I filled out, about the video that you can also watch on the blog. I know that, you know, where my son is in his development, and I know that his engagement has improved a lot in the last year. So I wanted to work at a higher capacity. I wanted to work at levels 3 and 4. Functional emotional developmental capacity 3 is the back and forth interaction, and 4 is more the social problem solving and getting a larger number of circles of communication. So having this really continuous flow of back and forth interaction. And so the other part of that is seeing my son initiate more of the interactions as opposed to just responding to me, and generating his own ideas, because he does have islands of capacity 5 and 6 as well. Mm-hmm. But those earlier capacities need to be more robust. He still has a lot of sensory issues. So in this video, you'll see that he's climbing all over the place, moving up and down and around, and that's how he is 24/7. He needs to move. His body is just one that needs constant input. Mm-hmm. So this activity, all of this isn't on the worksheet, but I thought I might as well elaborate on it. That activity in itself supported the floor time session. Giving him the opportunity to move around helps him be more self-regulated, which is the first functional emotional developmental capacity. And if he's not self-regulated, we won't even get to engagement and interaction and social problem solving and on and on.
Right. And that actually is floor time, is using his individual differences to optimize the possibilities for interaction. In fact, the whole section, intro section B of our manual talks about how do you use the child's individual differences, for example, his sensory profile, his motor profile, his visual spatial processing, to support his ability to interact with you. So it was a beautiful example of floor time in action, where Dr. Greenspan always talked about pairing words with affect with action, and that promotes that cross-brain neural integration, the growth of interconnectivity we talked about earlier. So he's climbing and he's placing pillows and he's burrowing under the tunnel, but it's all very, very focused activity, focused around the interaction with you. And so it's a
as opposed to what he might have done a couple of years ago, which is what you mean by he's doing all of that stuff, but it's focused in the interaction with me, as opposed to going off to the side of the room and crawling away and just being on his own in his own world. Which,
yes.
Yeah.
You may need to pair old videos with this, because people watching this will watch how joyfully engaged he is during this play with you, and that his primary interest in the play is not climbing, is not crawling. It is sharing ideas with you.
Mm-hmm.
So joint attention and sharing even affect with you. You can see that he's continually referencing your eyes and your face to make sure that you understand, as hard as he's trying to get you to understand the ideas that he has, not just for the play, but it's bringing up memories for him from school, from friends, from other times you've played together, from his favorite stories, and he's weaving them in, but he's not doing it to entertain himself. You can see, because he keeps visually referencing your face and your eyes, do you understand me? Which is a fundamental core social capacity that you can't teach in a social skills class. You cannot teach your son or any other person that you, lesson number six, you need to care whether the other person understands you or not. That's a purely affective experience that comes from the building of this attuned relationship you've done through the use of positive affect, positive emotion through play that was tailored to his passions and interests. And now look what you've got. You've got a video clip of people will be saying, oh, well, you're talking about autism, but this child is making beautiful eye contact. He's sustaining these interactions with you. He's thinking about whether you understand him. He's correcting himself to make sure you understand him. And he's taking pleasure and joy when you understand him. That then they're going to say, well, he was misdiagnosed.
So,
versus saying you've used floor time and it's helped him to grow.
Couple of things here. I have to say, like Mike Myers in that skit from Saturday Night Live, I'm a little verklempt. Take a moment to yourselves, because I teared up when you were saying all of that. I mean, to hear you saying all of that about my son who, you know, has gone through, you know, he went through this tremendously terrible brain inflammation experience and hospitalization. And, you know, just wondering, is he ever going to heal? What's going to happen? And then having the diagnosis, and the progress is so slow. It really is slow. You know, when this happened in September of 2011, we thought, oh, he'll be better by Christmas. And here we are, you know, 4.5 years later, and he's just moving beyond where he was before the brain inflammation. So it is a slow process. And to hear you say all of that really made me very emotional, because he really wasn't doing that before. And I have to believe that it is the floor time that has helped him relate in the way that he's able to now. And I think you brought up a good point that I should go through the archives and find a video of him where he is more focused on the activity as opposed to the interaction and feedback from Mama.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can compare. By the time this blog airs, that video hopefully will be posted right beside the other one.
That would be great. And I can see why that would be very emotional to be hearing from somebody, you know, in another place, sort of what you've been working so much for and managing your own feelings around the patience that it's taken. Sometimes I wanted to see, I was so surprised to see the video after I saw your self-reflective journal, the sample that you posted, will post on the website, on the blog, because I was just so impressed with what you were building with him together in terms of the interaction and supporting his ideas and the pleasure that you know, were sharing. And then on the inside, you were really doing some good work on you as a mom and what are some of your challenges in these kinds of floor time sessions? Because they're challenging. It's not an easy thing. We would prefer someone else could just do it all. And some parents run away from the challenge and they get busy, or they really focus on other aspects of their very, very busy lives, because it demands a lot from us to be the ones on the front line. But then it's also so deeply gratifying to know it's all that time that you've spent. You know, maybe it wasn't always exciting and interesting to continue to always follow his lead and his passions, because it wasn't something new and entertaining and stimulating for your own mind and brain. It was the same old thing sometimes, but look what you've gotten out of that.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to say, going back to the whole curiosity versus judgment piece, and, you know, I always, always feel like we are terrible as a floor time family. We're not doing enough. Oh, no, we're not putting in 6 20-minute sessions a day. He's not going to get better unless we are the perfect, perfect floor time family, doing all of this exactly the way that the book says he should. And I feel that pressure so much. And I think it should be relieving for parents to hear that even the little bits that you do consistently, even if it's not ideal, the ideal amount, really can help.
Well, that's right. And that's what our program developed to do, is that we understood that parents can't do it all by themselves. So that's what I mean by a floor-time therapist, somebody to come in the home and take the reins sometimes. And Greenspan talked about the need for that you need a team. You can't put all this pressure on for brain development on yourself, given all the many competing demands on your time and energy. You need support. You need a team. And that's what we do. We go in, you know, 3-4 times a week, up to 2 or 3 hours at a time, working with the family, but also filling in the gaps when they can't, when they're maybe both parents are working, aren't getting home, and there's a grandparent. The grandparent may not be as able to dive into this model, or may not be as willing. So there needs to be a team. And like you said, every little bit that you do is promoting his brain development. Every little bit.
And just to put it out there, the blog next time, which will be in 2 weeks, is going to be all about the DIR model and all the different pieces of it. Because focused a lot on floor time and the different functional, emotional, developmental capacities. And now we've talked a bit more about emotions and that interaction, limit setting. So next time we're going to be talking about the parts of the DIR model in the blog. After that, we're going to talk about setting limits at the appropriate developmental level. So that's a sneak peek into upcoming blogs. But to continue with the worksheet, so the next part is, what strategies seem to work best to support my goals in the floor time session with my son? And I felt that my son responded really well to my affect, facial expressions, and use of gestures. So just the way that I would respond to him with intonation in my voice, you know, widening my eyes, and oh, wow. And certainly following his lead, so he wants to make a tunnel. He doesn't like that avalanche when I start to knock the pillows over, so I'm following his lead by saying, oh, no, no, we don't want an avalanche. Mm-hmm. And also trying to make sure I respond to every initiation that my son makes. So, of course, when you go back and watch the video, I may notice that, oh, I missed that initiation that he made. Now, some of the things that he said, I did sort of glide over on purpose for the purpose of this blog, because he did start to script about certain experiences that we had, and he's getting way off track. He started talking about model trains that we've seen and different things like that. But when I'm talking about responding to every initiation that he makes, I'm thinking more of, if he says something like, he has an idea to put the pillow up here and I just ignore him and do something else. We want to respond to every initiation he made. He made an initiation to say to me, put the pillow on tops, so I want to follow through. Similarly, he said, Mama, go over there. And I said, oh, go on that side. And he said, on the other side. And so I made sure I followed through and went to the other side. Is that a correct understanding that I have?
Absolutely. And what it's making me think of is that what we use from our manual is the menu of strategies that in order to be able to put into words what we did with, we always say, what was I trying to do and what strategies did I use? And so you just mentioned a number of them. A2 is be responsive, always respond to all communication. And that's the title of the strategy. And then there's all the reasons why and mm-hmm. how to do that. You also used his natural interests, A5. You talked about his profile. That's that core methods B, understanding and addressing individual differences. You used our strategy B1, identifying and understanding your child's profile. You mentioned he needs to move all the time, and that supports his ability to initiate ideas with you and to stay connected and have richer problem-solving continuous flow of interaction. It goes beyond just opening a circle and closing a circle, but a whole rolling cycle of circles together that represents social interaction at a deeper level. You also did a key one, which is being the sportscaster. When we're talking about supporting capacity 3, we have strategy 3.4, sportscaster or narrator. Be the sportscaster, be the narrator, so that the child hears that you're really following them, and also they hear what they're doing. As you describe it, it gets clearer. They get clearer to themselves, but they're certain that you're really attuning and attending to what they're doing, and they feel supported to keep going, to broaden and strengthen their initiation of ideas. You also used 3.3, wait long enough, so that you didn't take over subtly and gradually start to indicate to him that you're the idea generator by filling in ideas. You waited long enough for his responses so that he had a chance to organize his oral motor processing and his, in other words, his language and his ideation, so that he could be the one to direct the play. And it was purely joyful for him. It was fascinating for him. So he did. Your goal, in part, was to have him stay and stick with one activity for 20 minutes, and you absolutely achieved that because you waited long enough for him to be that initiator.
And just to remind people, Dr. Davis is talking about the strategies from her book, Floor Time Strategies to Promote Development in Children and Teens, A User's Guide to the DIR Model, which we link to on the blog. And you can order from her website or from Amazon and other places.
Yeah, there's just so many that it's, and it's nice to be able to put them into words so you understand, oh, I was doing a lot.
Now, I have to say, I didn't realize I was doing all of that. It's sort of, I think this is another thing that, well, maybe we'll talk about it once we're finished going over the worksheet. But, you know, some things come naturally to parents and other things don't. So certain things in this book, certain strategies are just the way I naturally am with children. But certain other strategies I struggle with, and I would really have to consciously focus on that. And my husband is different, so some of the strategies that come naturally to me are very difficult for him, but he excels in these other strategies that are really hard for me, which works out well for us because we're sort of a team in that sense. But maybe after we go over this worksheet, we can talk a little bit about how to help parents not feel overwhelmed by, oh, where was I doing all these strategies? Like you mentioned your therapist example, you said she's concerned and thinking about what she's doing as opposed to being in the moment. But I guess this strategy itself helps with that, self-reflecting. So what did I learn about my child? I think I've known this all along, but it really, watching that video really put it out in front of me that my child is really responsive to my reactions, and he's very eager to include me in his play. Mm-hmm. He likes mama. He wants mama to be there. He wants mama to do this or that.
Right, and he really was, and you learn that by sort of this process of watching the video and thinking about yourself. So I talk about strategy A10, self-reflect, is developing that video camera in your mind. So you may not have the actual video camera set up or your phone set up, but you're always rolling tape in your mind, because you're present in the moment and you're watching yourself as well. And that's how you grow. That's how you get out of ruts and habits. Like you said, some are natural to you and some are not natural to you. This is how you grow in new ways, by watching yourself either on video or after a while having a constantly rolling videotape of interaction. It helps you become much more flexible in interaction with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that, having that inner video rolling in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the next part, it goes even further into self-reflection, where we look at ourselves. So what were my goals for myself in this session? So I wanted to be able to stay in the interaction the whole time. Sometimes it's hard for me to stay focused for a full 20-minute session. So that was my primary goal, was, you know, I got to be in that interaction the whole time. And secondly, to not direct my son's play, but instead foster him to initiate the interactions and ideas himself. Because when I look back at videos of my son before his brain inflammation and before autism was in our lives, I was really surprised. And I was looking back to see if there were clues in his development about autism before we ever thought he was at risk. But what I was surprised is how much I directed everything. Mm-hmm. So I was a natural teacher. Oh, mm-hmm. Look, this does this. Look at this. This does this. Oh, do this and then this will happen. Oh, look, I'm going to teach you this. And mm-hmm. So that is a natural tendency of mine, to direct and tell him what to do. So in this video, I had that in the back of my head, like, don't direct what he's doing. And I did do it a few times. I did direct him. But, you know, hopefully less so than I used to, and giving him the chance more to initiate the interactions.
Yeah. Should we take a break and then come back and talk about a little bit more about what you learned about yourself?
Sure. So we'll be back for the final and part 3 of our interview with Dr. Andrea Davis right after this.